This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. And we talked about the story and mentioned this man's name a couple times. Director of Pardons and Paroles for the state of Alabama, who's been a guest over the years as a state senator and then a director on this show. Cam Ward joins us now. Thanks for your time.
Hey, great to be back with you again. Thanks for having me on.
It's a pleasure. I got, you know, everybody, this story hits and then everybody's asking questions here. So I figured let's go to you. So this release today, I guess it's been, is it temporarily stayed by the judge in Montgomery, or is it going to happen today? What do you know about that part?
No, what happened was, so going back to the beginning, a law was passed 2 years ago by the legislature that said Department of Corrections, which is separate from me, but Department of Corrections was required to release certain people who were within 10 months of already getting out anyway, so that they wanted the Bureau of Pardon and Parole, which I oversee, to monitor electronically and in person to make sure they're following the law. Yesterday, the Attorney General filed a suit to block it due to a lack of victim notification. The judge denied that. However, the Department of Corrections, their agency, and the Attorney General agreed that before anyone got out, they were going to follow the law and make sure that victim notification was served.
Okay. So that's to say, hey, those people, is there a timeline? Like, it has, does every... I mean, it's like just sending a registered letter,
passed 2 years ago, but it didn't go into effect until today. But there's no timeline. The big issue will be you have to be, usually everybody who's eligible is going to get out in either 2 months or up to 10 months from now. They're coming out anyway. So the legislature mandated DOC develop that list and do victims notification.
Okay. As they're released, ankle monitor, is it then your issue? I mean, when it comes from ADOC...
Now, once they are released, under the law, once they are released, we're required to electronically monitor everyone, as well as provide, you know, eyes on human intelligence, making sure everybody's doing what we're supposed to do.
You know, you and I talked about this over the years. I was kind of setting it up. I mean, you and I started talking about this, I think, in the first term of then-Governor Bentley, when this issue was up. 369 doesn't fix the problem, right? I mean, for overcrowding numbers. I mean, that's not.
It's not going to solve. And I don't think that was their intention.
Right.
We don't have a position one way or the other on new law. We're just going to enforce the law as it's written. However, I don't think it was an overcrowding. I think they were trying to figure out because it's so. If you what they call EOS. So let's say I get to 5 years. I've been sentenced. Okay. If I come into 5 years, the moment you walk out the door, there is zero supervision. Nobody's overseeing you, making sure you're doing right, and their recidivism rate tends to be a lot higher. I think probably the legislature, their intent was to make sure they had some sort of transition back in. If they were getting out anyway, they want to make sure they're transitioning back the right way.
Okay. So I detect some nuance here, or something a lot of us didn't know. So if somebody finishes their sentence completely, then they're out, and there's no supervision.
Legally you can't.
Okay, so if you let them out early, people that are going to be getting out, if you let them out early, it gives y'all time to monitor them, and in monitoring can you steer them into?
I think that's what the legislature is trying to do. It requires you to have some sort of a transition back in, where there's monitoring and making sure also if they need drug treatment or drug evaluation, they're going through that.
Okay, this is a way. So the recidivism rate for the people that end of sentence get out is at whatever this number is.
Currently in Alabama, recidivism is about 30%, which is right in the middle, 25th in the country. The feeling, I'm putting words in the mouth of the legislature. I think the feeling was the data has shown if you have some sort of supervision before they go completely free, that the recidivism rate goes down.
Is there a number to that? I mean, compare and contrast?
It depends on the program they go through. We have a program under pardon and parole that we've done, the Bureau, where it goes as low as 8-7% if they have jobs and mental health and substance abuse. But it depends on the individual. It's hard to quantify that with just this recent passage.
Just joining us, we're talking to Director of Pardons and Paroles for the state of Alabama, Cam Ward. So you said enforcing the law. So, I mean, or as a department, y'all have, I mean, are y'all against the release individually? Are you against this or are you for this?
We don't have a position either way. Well, but I do believe this, and I advocated this yesterday in court, is we don't have a position, but we're going to follow the law the legislature passed, and we're going to do what we're told to do until told otherwise.
Okay. So this is there another one of these slated? Does this happen monthly or quarterly, or is there anything like that on these releases?
Say again, Sean.
No, I was going to asking if, like, today's release is there. Does this happen every month? Is it a quarterly thing?
No. The law applies only to people who were convicted prior to 2015.
Okay.
So, you'll have a lump sum, I think, today, grand total, under the law, and again, this may be a question more for the Department of Corrections since they're doing this, not us. They're releasing 92, and then we are responsible for electronically monitoring all of them the moment they walk out the door. And then we have to do what's called a risk assessment. Basically, what level of supervision do you need based upon the crimes you committed and the threat you have to society? Public safety is always going to be first and foremost. I mean, I think we all agree on that.
You know, when I was reading this, yeah, I agree. When I was reading the story earlier, too, and it was the way it was written, it wasn't quoting you, but it said, this is from Carol Robinson at AL.com. It said, the nature of the offenses the 369 were convicted of range from possession of marijuana and theft to robbery and murder. I didn't know if it was
the law that you can't, the thing is, you can't be a life in prison, you can't be like a sex offender. And you cannot be like human trafficking. I think of the three they can't, but they're basically everybody has to be. They're already getting out within the next 10 months, is what they did.
I guess people were focused on the marijuana part too, because you know you and I talked over time that people said that people,
very small bunch. Anybody in prison solely for marijuana, that number is so small it's hard to quantify. That's not a big population in our state prisons.
You know, I get asked that every time, right? Every time you're on, so I get to ask you, right? I've got to ask you, yeah, that. All right. Also got to talk about the gorilla in the room here, something you and I have talked about over time. Yeah. How much of this is, you know, the part of your job with pardons and paroles versus ADOC in general? Can you give me an update here on where we are with the DOJ? Where do we stand?
There's a lawsuit against the Department of Corrections on the conditions inside the prisons. This number is just a scratch on the toe. It's not going to relieve your overcrowding issue, and I don't think that's what the legislature is trying to do here. But it's a small scratch on that. I think more than anything, they're trying to tackle recidivism.
Okay, but that is two parts. Of course, tackling recidivism keeps that 30% from coming back in the system and filling
up
the
prison. Which is where my job comes in. When they pass that and mandate us to do this, that's where I come in, is how can I get that recidivism? I hope to cut it in half, but yes.
Okay, so you keep them from coming back in the pipeline. At the same time, 369, you just said it. I mean, we could do that many times over, and it doesn't change this gap of the overpopulation, right? I mean, we'd have to do this every week.
No. Yeah. And this would be the largest lump sum you've had ever come out at one time. But honestly, no, you're not going to change. That's not going to fix the overcrowding, no.
So, you know, we've talked about this over time in different roles as a state senator, So what is the solution? If we keep the recidivism down, keep them out, building bigger facilities. You and I talked about this years ago. It was like it was going to happen then.
You'll never build your way out of it. I think the issue, though, the courts have really zeroed in on is the conditions on the inside. Because there are people in there that you and I don't like.
Right.
And we can agree on who they are. But the Constitution still guarantees certain rights. And we may not like that, but the founding fathers of the country said there are certain constitutional rights people are entitled to, regardless of incarcerated or not. That's where I think the courts are really starting to zero in on. And that may be more of a Department of Corrections question to me, but it's still an issue.
So it is, but this sword of Damocles, right, that you and I have been talking about since, long time. When I opened up the show this hour, I said, this right here is this biggest release yet. But if DOJ took over, they could be doing this with regularity, right? If you look at what happened in Alabama in the 70s.
They could do it in the thousands, We talk about 300-something. They could do thousands and thousands if they wanted to. Yeah, they can do what they wanted to. You don't have any control if they take it over.
I mean, because we're not just theorizing, right? Alabama in the 70s, but California in the 90s, right? They released thousands.
And in fact, we were actually in a receivership back in the 70s and 80s in Alabama. And the amount of money it costs you a fortune, and you just don't have any say on how you deal with it.
I guess, you know, maybe it's worn off the clear and present danger here, because I've been talking about this a long time on the radio. You've been talking about it a long time in the state of Alabama, but yet you've got the lawsuit, but, I mean, they're not turning people out yet. So maybe people still don't believe.
I mean, the legal process has to move forward, and I hope we don't get that position.
Me too.
I hope we don't get the spot.
How do we keep that from happening?
Let a lot of people out.
How do we keep that from happening? That's the thing.
I think it's more of a legislative question, but I would say probably you've got to invest a whole lot more in how you supervise and tamp down the violence inside the prisons. I think you're going to have to do that in order to avoid a federal receivership type issue.
Is that something that, you know, I always just wonder how long we have, right? You know, I've talked about
this. It's money. It's a money issue. And I think there are those who are in there, both parties who've been trying to deal with it, but it's going to take money and a lot of investment and resources.
Okay. So, you know, one of these questions too, can you show DOJ, because I always worry it's going to be tomorrow it happens, right? Can you show DOJ that, hey, we have a plan and that buys you a little time, or do you have any opinion on that?
Yeah, that's what you'll have to do. And Judge Thompson in Montgomery, who's handling all these cases, I mean, he's kind of expressed exasperation with where we are, and I think he's ready for a solution. But at some point, you got to decide, look, how much money are we going to spend on legal fees, which is a lot. Mm-hmm. And if we lose, how much more do we have to pay under lose or pay law for the federal level? And then how much money are we going to have to invest? I think the issue is going to be money. And if you get to a certain point, it's going to be more money than you probably have to spend.
Well, all I do is talk to members of the legislature. They're talking about, the other round of ARPA spending, whether it's going to be in a special or a special within a regular session.
Yeah, I mean, but now they just changed the rules on that a little bit in Congress. So the ability to use ARPA money to plug this gap is probably not going to be there. I do think the construction of the two new facilities was a great idea. I think it needed, but mainly because you can provide better services. But at the end of the day, you got to have money for people, like officers, and making sure you have good officers in there. And you can't use ARPA money for that. That's got to come out of general fund appropriations.
Or do the, I mean, I know here's the problem. Everything's so earmarked. If not, if I was up there, I'd say, hey, we'll take the money that is over here and put ARPA money there, and then move this money over there. Watch this work.
No, absolutely, and that's everybody's goal and dream, but you're limited on how you spend certain monies coming in from the federal level.
Gotcha. And we talk about those rules a lot. I appreciate you making time for us today. I'm going to get you back on. We can talk at length.
Hey, I look forward to maybe next time I'm down there coming to the studio in person. It's okay.
That's a done deal, so come on and see us.
Look forward to it, my friend.
All right, there he is, Director of Pardons and Paroles for the state of Alabama, Cam Borden. We're coming right back. More of Midday Mobile.